Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation. And by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Word of God, word of life.
And thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 116 responsively. I love the Lord, who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. Words of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought low, and God saved me.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt well with you.
For he will bless you.
I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living.
Glory to God.
A reading from James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body. It sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives? Or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist," and others, "Elijah," and still others, "one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. From a play or a movie kind of sticks in your head for years and years. I remember a play I was in when I was 7, and my line was, oh dear, we are lost in the forest. I thought for sure the fairies would be here by now. The next week I played a tree. So you can tell that my acting at age 7 wasn't convincing, I guess. There is a line from a movie or a play, I don't remember what, but I remember this line, and it's said by a mother to her son, her adult son, and she says this line many times, and it's, "I'm sorry I can't hear you over the noise of my breaking heart." What's the sound of a breaking heart? The noise of a breaking heart. Have you ever heard that sound? I know I have. You probably have as well. Maybe you heard that sound when your son or daughter came to you and told you that their marriage was breaking up or their job was ending. Maybe it's the sound of an addicted heart that had a slip or another binge. Maybe that breaking heart was the sound of your neighbor or your friend's heart breaking when the doctor called and said it was malignant. Maybe it was your own breaking heart when your physical or financial situation seemed to put an end to your dreams. "I can't hear you over the sound of my breaking heart." Maybe those words could have been said by Peter in today's gospel. Under the stress of an uncertain future, severe disappointment, even shame, Peter can hear the sound of his own heart breaking. It happened just outside Caesarea Philippi, not too far north from the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was walking along with his disciples when he asks them what people are saying about him. It's an interesting question. I think a lot of us ask that question. What do others think of us? Even Jesus is curious, wondering what others are saying, what others are thinking of him. By this time in Mark's gospel, the disciples have gotten to see Jesus and know him quite well. They've been with him for a while. They've seen him cure the sick and the lame. They've seen him cast out demons and feed thousands of people. They've seen him even restore life to a young girl. And Jesus is wondering, what are the crowds making of all of this? And the disciples have a ready answer, reporting that the crowds have indeed recognized Jesus clearly as a prophet. He is a holy man of God. But then Jesus seems to get to his real question, and he asks the disciples, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And again, the disciples have a ready answer, and Peter takes the lead, and he declares that Jesus is not just a prophet like John the Baptist or Elijah, but he is actually the long-awaited Messiah, the Holy One of God, who has come to save all people. Maybe Peter was just waiting for this opportunity, waiting to use his words for a good purpose, like James says, use your words for a good purpose. He was waiting for a chance to tell Jesus that they had been saying this to each other for some time. But whatever, this confession has to be the high point, one of the best times in Peter's life. When you finally get something perfectly right, it just feels so good. And Peter says the very right thing. It's like when you say, I love you, for the first time to a beloved, and you realize that as those words come out of your mouth, they make true, even truer than when you were just thinking of those words. And that's what it is with Peter and this confession. His heart now filled with abundance, with faith and with love. His heart is singing. And then, only moments later, he can't even hear Jesus over the sound of his breaking heart. Now, maybe you think that Peter's heart breaks at the sting of Jesus' words, "Get behind me, Satan." You're setting your mind on human things rather than on divine things. Now, those are pretty hurtful words coming from Jesus. That could break your heart. But I think that it doesn't happen there. I think that Peter's heart starts breaking even before that. Listen to this part of Mark's gospel again. Jesus asks them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly. Did you hear Peter's heart breaking? At first it's faint, just a little crack, right after that great confession, that beautiful confirmation that Jesus neither congratulates or affirms, but instead says, "Don't say anything about this." And how can that be? Peter wonders. This is the greatest news in the world, and you're telling us not to share it? You got to be kidding. You're the long-awaited Messiah, and we're supposed to keep our mouths shut about that? And then it gets louder, that breaking heart of Peter that breaks into his dreams, into the core of his heart, breaking and cracking like a windshield extending out through the whole thing. Listen. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo suffering. Crack. Be rejected by the elders. Crack. And the scribes. Crack. And then the greatest blow of all, and be killed. And there it goes, Peter's heart totally cracked open into nothing, breaking so loud with fear and disappointment and disbelief. So loud is that cracking heart that he doesn't even hear Jesus' next remark, and be raised on the third day. No wonder Peter rebukes Jesus for making this statement. It's blasphemy. The Savior of the world to suffer? The Messiah, this long-awaited God, die? It's crazy talk. Jesus, don't say this. You're breaking my heart. Peter wants and needs a strong God. Like many in his day, he was waiting for the Messiah to come to overthrow that Roman Empire, for the mighty king of David's descendant to come and to restore Israel to its righteous place, to put this nation of believers back to where they belong in the sense of being a nation of God's chosen people. And Jesus is that person. He's got to be. He is the Messiah. We've seen it. What's he talking about? This is the Jesus that is, we've already seen him bringing comfort and hope and healing and life itself. So what's all this talk about suffering and death? Peter wants a strong God. And who can blame him? I don't think we're much different. When the weight of hardship bears down on us, when the voices of despair drown out the voices of others, when it's one disappointment after another, don't we also want a strong God to avenge us, to avenge our hurts, to right all our wrongs, to put us again back on top where we belong, or at least right with the world and right with everybody else? Don't we want that kind of God too? Except that it's exactly when the noise of our breaking heart is so loud that we have to strain to hear the words of Jesus. It's then that we most need to hear Jesus. When we're down and out, when life's setbacks and disappointments have conspired to make us feel like we're nothing, it's then that we wonder what God has to say to us. What a God of strength and might and justice, what a strong God, the God of winners, might have to say to us, ordinary people who are more often at home with the losers than with the victors. I think this is what Jesus means in his rebuke to Peter, when he talked about considering earthly things rather than divine things. By our human accounting, strength is everything. Might does make right. The one who dies with the most wins. That's human accounting. But God employs a different economics. He measures strength not in terms of might, but in terms of love. Not by victory, but by vulnerability. Not in possessions, but in sacrifice. Not in what we can cling to, but what we can offer. Not in glory, but in the cross. Peter's heart breaks in today's reading because he doesn't get the God he wants. It breaks again in joy at the end of the story because Peter realizes that instead of getting the God he wants, he has the God he needs. And that is true for us as well. We recognize that the God we worship comes not only for the victorious, but for the vanquished. And he seeks out not the high and mighty, but the sad and the lonely. Our God comes to feed the hungry to heal the lame, to free the bound, to bind up the brokenhearted. That is, our God comes for us. Our God comes for us with our wounded hearts, with our breaking hearts, with our happy hearts, and our holy hearts. Our God comes for us. And so we pray. Come, Lord Jesus, break open our hearts that we might see your most amazing love for us and for all people. Break open our hearts that we might hear and respond to your invitation to follow you and receive your mercy and grace. Amen.